Sorry, his wife couldn't be there, but she had her old surgery, but next time she will be here.
All right. Hey there. I feel at home, which is a good thing to feel. I do itinerant ministry, which means I travel a lot, and I'll be headed to New Jersey and Pennsylvania and Delaware and Maryland in the month of October and into early November. And that involves usually doing like 10 or 12 churches in 14 days. And so you get a lot of variety and get to see what God's doing in the body of Christ. God's doing something in the body of Christ. God is awakening his bride. He's causing us to become alive unto the Holy Spirit, alive to the Father's heart, and alive to the purposes that Jesus came and sacrificed himself for. It's an exciting time to be alive. There's a lot of negative things. If you get your primary information from Facebook or from the evening news, I'm sorry you do that to yourself. But God has a good report for what he's doing in the earth. Now, I have an assignment that God's given me in being here tonight, and it centers around the subject of value. And so I'm gonna expound upon that. I'm not going to be really lengthy. I mean, I'm going to keep it to under 6 hours. But just given the human dynamics and the fact that you want to be here tomorrow, because I'm going to be here tomorrow, and the theme tomorrow is going to be about walking with the mind of Christ and what that looks like, how to have the mind of Christ, how to apprehend it, how to have God's thoughts in the situations of life, and how to move at the prompting of Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. Tonight, I'm talking about value. And there's two aspects to that. The first aspect of that, I'm just going to share some scriptures and some thoughts, and then we're going to all participate in something for a few minutes. And then I'm going to talk a little bit more about a few more things concerning value. And then I'm going to release some things that God's given me. And my function, the body of Christ, I'm a prophetic man. You can call me whatever you want, just don't call me late for dinner. Yeah. My function is to hear God and then release what God is saying. And God is saying things all the time. And it's not just for a prophet, it's for the body of Christ. The Word of God says that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Which means that right now, if you're a believer in Jesus, can I see the hands of people that are believers in Jesus in here? If you're a believer in Jesus and you've accepted him as your Savior, then he's speaking to you. Not maybe, not possibly, not down the road, but right now he's speaking to you. That's an ongoing thing that God is doing. Now, we're not always aware of it. I spent years, even as a pastor, where I was just kind of like, boy, if I just knew what God wanted me to do, it'd really help out. I just didn't know his voice that well. But Jesus said, and he spoke and declared that we hear his voice and we follow him. He says that we know his voice. So that's not a maybe. He doesn't say we should know his voice. He says we do know his voice, which means that it's just a matter of skill. It's just a matter of developing some things. Since God said it's already happening, then the only thing I see that needs to be done is I just need to get better at it. Turn to somebody and say, you just need to get better at it. And that to me is very, very hopeful. If there's the possibility of me just pursuing something and getting better at it, then that means I don't have to stay where I am, wherever I am. If I'm not satisfied or happy about where I am in terms of hearing God's voice, I got good news for you. You could do better than you are right now. And it's not that hard. After all, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Everybody say, bah, bah. See, sheep aren't notorious for being very intelligent, very insightful. They need a shepherd. And the amazing thing is that Jesus is the good shepherd. In fact, we're told in the epistles that by the writer of Hebrews that he's the great shepherd. He's not just good, he's great. He's really good at giving leadership to dumb animals. I mean, to human beings. He's really good at that. So I've done a lot of things in prophetic ministry. I pastored for 31 years. And then I've been doing what I'm doing now, speaking in churches for about the last 20 years. And so I was involved in consulting with businesses. And what I would do is I would pray for businesses, and then we would dialogue and pray about challenges for the businesses, and we'd watch God answer prayer and move in businesses. God, do you believe God wants to move in a business? Help people with problems and challenges. So I had this young man coming in I was praying for him every day, and I was releasing prophetic things for him. And then we meet with him once a month just to kind of get catch up and see how it was going. And this guy was a genius at software. He had developed a software company. He had about 120 employees. In terms of wealth, he was a multimillionaire already. He had such impact that when the president of the United States came to Kansas City and was going to be on the ground in Kansas City for one day, who does he invite to come and meet with him? He is one of like 50 business leaders that the president of the United States wants to visit with. Do you get the picture? The guy's successful. He comes in for our consultation, and he's depressed. He's down. He's just kind of like, oh, I don't know if I can handle this. You know, I got this new problem. And I mean, we can all look at this and go, huh, what's he doing? But we all, don't we all do that? You know, I mean, it's just like before I left to come here today, I started getting into a pity party, you know, just kind of like, oh, what's going to happen with this? And you just, you know, fortunately, I have a wife who has a gift of encouragement or rebuke, depending upon what's necessary. Come on, get out of that. Some of us need to do that. But he was just down. And right as he walked in, so I sat near and I just began, and what I do, and what I'm going to be doing when I prophesy over you, because I really feel like I'm supposed to release a word to each and every person that's in here tonight, and it's up to you to judge that word and hold it up before God, compare it to the word of God, see if it's accurate or true. But I feel led to do that. What I felt in my spirit as this man was talking, I felt to say to him, you know, I think God has a message for you. He says, what's that? And I said, the message from God for you is, he says, I've been doing this for a long time. Meaning I've been a good shepherd for a long time. I know what I'm doing. And it's just kind of like it just struck him. It just kind of like it shook him out of where he was at. It's like, oh yeah, he's the good shepherd and he has to quit doing that. He's the great shepherd. He's excellent above all those shepherds. And he's first of all, he's not quitting. Second of all, he doesn't get tired of doing it. Third of all, he loves us so much, he takes delight in leading us. Doesn't that make somebody in here feel happier than they were? So he's really, really good. And so that young man, in the midst of any challenge he had, God was saying, I'm that one who's leading you. Everybody close their eyes for just a second. There we are. That's Holy Spirit. He's right here. Wants to let you know right now, I'm the one. Everybody say, I'm the one. Say, you're the one who's leading me. One more time. You're the one who's leading me. Just a second, that's Holy Spirit. He comes to glorify the Father, comes to reveal Jesus. He comes to just let you into the understanding of what God is doing. The Scripture says the Holy Spirit will be in us and with us forever. He's never going to forsake us. He's never going to quit doing what he's doing. Isn't that, what a great combination. We have the great shepherd Jesus. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit who is sent from the Father in the name of the Son, to lead you into all truth and understanding, Scripture says. And neither one of them are going to quit on you. And the Father's love birthed all that. It was the Father's great love. He so loved. That's what the Scripture says in John. He so loved that he sent his Son. I am so loved. Put your arms around you like you're giving yourself a hug. You know, I'm not trying to give you a warm fuzzy. I'm trying to let you in on a biblical truth. You're so loved. You're so loved, you're so loved, you're so loved. He's not going to quit on you. He's not going to give up on you. He's bringing you into truth and understanding. Hallelujah. So my job is just to release the Father's heart, what the Holy Spirit is up to, Jesus' purpose for you. I'm just supposed to release a little bit of that, and then it's your job to steward that. It's your job to take that and do something with it by spending time with God with what he gives you. Very often, God gives you a seed rather than the whole equation. You're praying for the oak tree, but what he gives you is an acorn. And it's your job to plant the acorn, water it, you know, make sure the weeds don't grow up and choke it out. And eventually, you're going to get exactly what you asked for, an oak tree. But God loves to give seeds to us, and they become something mighty and incredible as we steward them. But we'll get back to that. So the first scripture, Romans chapter 13, verse 7. Turn there real quick. Not going to be long. We're going to do something, and then I'm going to talk to you a little bit more, and then we're going to pray for people. Does that sound good to anybody? Hallelujah. So many problems are caused by size 14 sermons trying to fit into the time frame of a size 5 human ability to understand and receive. So I'm going to be respectful of your time tonight. The 13th chapter of Romans, Paul writing the church at Rome, verse 7. He's rendered, he says, to all, or give to all what is due. Tax to whom tax is due. Please don't try and evade the IRS. They'll get you. Custom to whom custom is due. I don't, different ways to take that. That could be the taxes for coming into a country or leaving. That's customs. Obey the customs of the people that you're around. Be respectful of that. Could be another application of that. Then it says fear, which really means respect. Respect to whom respect is due. You know, you want to get in trouble really fast. My brother, Greg Cleveland, and I were talking about our experience with law enforcement officers pulling us over with flashing lights for driving at excessive speed. You know, so I know it's shocking that anybody who could say they're a Christian could do such a thing, but I've had lengthy conversations, and I want to reiterate to you, God is really merciful. And a lot of times police officers are very merciful. I've served as a police chaplain. I have a lot of respect for them. But we were talking about that experience. If you want to get an experience where you're just pulled over because you exceed the speed limit by 5 miles an hour, you want to turn it into something that's much more than that, like hands behind your back, sitting in the back of a car, going downtown, having your prints taken, having to call up your brother-in-law for bail money. If you want to turn it into that, just be disrespectful to a police officer. Remember, the scripture says, be respect to whom respect is due. You just got to do that. We all were in agreement with all that, right? Then it says, honor to whom honor is due. Romans 13, 7. Honor to whom honor is due. And the word honor here is rooted in the understanding of value. Actually, it's directly related to money. Because in those days, money was the weight that it weighed. It was X amount of silver, X amount of gold. And over time, as a coin was used, it became diminished in its value because it had less weight than it did before. So the whole idea of honor is that you give the due amount of worth to the person that they actually have. You don't consider them diminished. You don't, in other words, you don't talk them down. You don't badmouth them. You don't count them as less value than they really are. But you give them the full amount of worthiness that they're due. See, that's such an important principle. Let's look at another scripture. I've just got three scriptures on this that we're going to do something. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and the 17th verse. It says, honor all men. Honor who? All men. See the value in all men. See the worthiness of all men. So I was getting up. I'm a middle-aged man at least. Everybody can laugh about that because I'm way beyond middle age. See, middle age is an expandable definition. When you're about 30, middle age is going to start somewhere around 40 and extend for a little while. And as you get into your 40s and 50s, it's elastic. It begins expanding dramatically. And middle age goes out to about 90. Come on now. Yeah, so as a middle-aged man, I find myself getting up in the middle of the night, and I won't go into any details about what I do. So last night, as I was getting up, the Holy Spirit came and spoke to me, and he said, you see, the thing about honor is it's all about valuing people. It's about valuing people. So we're going to really center in on that in just a few minutes. But it's looking at people and seeing the value that is attached to their lives, not merely on the human level, but how God looks at that person and sees their value from his perspective. Hey, Terry. Whoa! He values people. He values, you see, since he knows the entire history of your journey, he knows every detail, he knows every tear. Do you realize Scripture says he takes every tear and puts it into a bottle? That your tears are so precious to him in that hard moment in your life that he captured that tear and he's put it in a bottle and preserved it for some future purpose and glory. Whoa! Your tears aren't wasted. Your pain isn't wasted. That God considers you so valuable. Whoa, somebody get this. That he's taken even the hardest moments in your life and he's captured it as something precious to himself. What do people keep little bottles of tears or do they keep jewels? What do you think? He says in the word, he says that you will be mine in that day when I take up my jewels. You see, you're of value as precious stones to God. So every little tear that falls out of your eyes is something that came from a precious stone. Everything that comes out of your life is precious to God, and he counts you of great value. Hallelujah. Now let's look at, I think we all got that. You got that? It says to honor all men, love the brotherhood. That means love the brothers and sisters in Christ, fear or reverence God, and honor the king. So honor is mentioned twice there, mentioning for all men and then specifically for honoring a leader. Honoring a leader. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Hallelujah. It's going to be good. Somebody say it's going to be good. It'd be good if the preacher got to the scripture. See, I'm the last person to arrive. So they train you, when they train preachers, they train you to delay and obfuscate because you can't find the verse. That's what you're doing. Where is that verse at? I thought it was here somewhere. There we go. So 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we're going to look at the 17th verse. It says, let the elders, and that's a term that is also translated as bishops or overseers, or we would say pastors. Not all elders are pastors, but we'll get to that in a minute. It says, let the elders who rule well, that means they're in leadership, be considered worthy of what? Double honor. Whatever honor you thought they were worth, you should give them twice as much. Now, it's interesting because the word honor also means money. I'm going to get in trouble here. First time I've been in this church, and I'm going to get in trouble. See, what this actually means is that whatever you think the pastor of the house is worth, you should give him twice as much. I'm sorry, it's the word. It's the word of God. That's what it says. You know, twice as much honor, twice as much respect. Count them for the value they are. And then it says, chapter 5, verse 17, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Now, this is a special night because 20 years ago, this church was birthed. And 20 years ago, this man was called into pastoral ministry. Coincidentally, Pastor Gary. And so we would be remiss if we don't take this occasion just to honor him just for a little minute here. I know he wasn't planning on this, but I didn't ask his opinion. Hallelujah. So what I feel led to do is that we'll just take a minute and we're going to pray for them. Would Chris and Gary come on up here and just face your people here. Now, at several points during the next few minutes, and again, we're probably going to be out of here at 9 o'clock just to set your hearts at ease. I'm going to say things that you're going to need to respond to. So don't give place to the maybes. Like, I think that was me, and I should respond to that. And you kind of go like, nah, that probably wasn't me because it wasn't exactly my situation. And you miss something right then. God's giving you an opportunity to respond to something because there's something in responding. So there's four people right now who feel right now you should get on up here and come and pray for these folks. There's one. There's two. There's three, four. I think we got it. By George, I think we got it. That's fine. The rest of us are going to pray for them too. Yeah. And we're just taking a minute here to honor on the 20th anniversary. Just taking a minute to honor these set leaders in this house. Taking a minute to honor the people that labor hard at preaching and teaching. We're doing something very biblical, folks. We're just taking a minute to say, you're worth a whole lot. Everybody say, you're worth a whole lot. We value you.
We value you.
We honor you. Just heard the Spirit of Grace say that the journey hasn't been easy, but he never told you it would be. But he says this is the year of invitation for you. I'm inviting you into more of my love. I'm inviting you into more of the knowledge of my leading in a deeper level. Changed lives, changed hearts in a greater measure. Greater transformation happening in the people that you pray for. And greater transformation happening in those around you in the community. He said, I put you on a hill for a reason. Whoa, I put you on a hill for a reason. Because you can't hide a light under a bushel. And you can't keep it hid if it's on a hilltop. I put you on a hilltop for a reason. He said, you're signal people. You're people that give out a sign of the kingdom of God, and then other people begin to come and follow after it. He said, you don't think little of yourselves. Shh. Don't think little of yourselves. I have not given you a little calling. I've not given you a little leading. I haven't given you a little destiny, but I've released something into your life from long, long, long ago that is substantive and valuable that will bring transformation to a city that I love. Whoa! Thank you, Father. Thank you for this couple, God. Thank you that they said yes. You realize they could have said no. Man, hardships of pastoral ministry, I don't think so. I don't want to go there. But they said yes. And so, Father, we honor them right now. We honor them right now. We honor them right now. And he says, if you're looking backwards, he says, it's really hard to go forwards. He says, I'm calling you not to only give backward glances, just like looking in the mirror. I'm not calling you to sit and ponder what did or didn't happen. I'm calling you to look forward in this season. Because there's many things. Says you're going to see hearts in supermarkets. You're going to see hearts in gas stations. You're going to see hearts in schools and in university. You're going to see hearts in government. You're going to see hearts in those that serve in the military. You're going to see hearts in the homeless. You're going to see hearts of people. In every walk of life, I'm going to give you the ability to see hearts and call them unto their destiny. And he said, you are ones that summons. You notice a leader because people follow them. And he says, you aren't counted leaders by how many are following you. You're counted leaders by the fact that people do follow you, but not a few are going to follow you. Whoa! Fill them up with the Holy Spirit, Father. Fill them up with the Holy Spirit. Fill them up. Everybody say, fill them up, God. Shh. And bless them. Lord, give them their dreams come true. Ridiculous things. I was in this church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and got somebody to go over and prophesy to a couple and tell them they're going to get a free vacation. And then and in addition to the free vacation, their daughter, who was backslidden, was going to come back to the Lord. So 6 o'clock in the morning, 3 months later, my phone rings. And it's the wife, and she said, Brother Pat, I just hope I'm not calling you too early. They were an hour later in the East Coast, so she didn't know it was 6 a.m. I couldn't wait to tell you that we got the free vacation. She said, people gave us airline miles. We got a timeshare given to us by somebody. We didn't pay a penny for anything. We were walking out to church, and we're going to go to the airport that afternoon. People were putting $100 bills in our hands. Never happened to us before or since. And we went on that vacation, said, but it was as wonderful as it was, we couldn't wait to get home. Because the vacation was a sign of what God was doing. Because we knew that when we got home, our daughter, her name was Precious, was going to come back to the Lord. So as soon as we got home, she came to our house and said, Daddy and Mommy, give my heart to Jesus. Whoa. He says, you're going to have signs and wonders experiences, even in your days off. Whoa! You aren't just getting something. You aren't just experiencing a gift from God. It's a sign to somebody of the goodness I'm going to release into their lives. Whoa! Fill them up, God. Fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up. Reconciliation. I don't know where this comes. Reconciliation and family, distant family members, more immediate family members, things that have been rough and things that have been tough. God says, I'm going to dissolve the doubts, dissolve the difficulties, and bring reconciliation. Now fill them and bless them and give them peace beyond measure, God, and overflow their lives. Somebody say overflow with every good thing. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, thank you. Any of you ones up here have something you want to say in prayer right now?
Lord, just strengthen them mm-hmm. to receive everything that you have.
Yeah. Yes, that's good. Yeah. Mm. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You see a cloud split. Yeah.
With lightning coming through. The darkness gone.
Whoa. A parting. Whoa. Thank you, Father. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Right now, God, we seal all these things to this precious couple. We thank you for them. God, we give them into your hands, Lord, that you're going to bless them a whole lot and you're going to use them mightily. And we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody stand up for just a second. Turn around and smile at somebody real quick, and then you can sit back down again. Hallelujah. Yeah. All right. So I just got a few minutes more, and then we'll do some praying for people. Value means to esteem. It means to respect. It means to show dignity to, or to recognize the dignity of. Shh. I've had experiences like that. I've been in a situation where I was just so busy. I know this would shock people. I was just so busy doing what I was doing that I just run by a waitress or run by somebody that's at a cash register, not giving any attention to them. And then I'm arrested by God, and he just says, you know, do you know what I'm doing in that person's life? And I go, gee, God, I don't know. You know, I'm getting my stuff done. I'm getting there. I'm getting over there. So I'm driving, just real simple experience. I'm driving into Wildwood, New Jersey, and I'm going to go get gas in New Jersey. Hallelujah. They're led by God. You have to have your gas pumped. It's no choice about it. It's state law. Somebody's got to pump your gas for you. Isn't that wonderful? Whoa! You know. Hallelujah. God's real, and he's working in the earth. So I pull on in there, and a young man comes out, and he's going to pump my gas. And, I just kind of go, well, that's nice. And I, in that situation, I tip people. You know, I'm respectful of them, but at that day I wasn't like super spiritual. That day I was kind of carnal. I was just kind of like all caught up in my own thing. And God comes to me just really distinctly, says, get out of the car and go back to that young man and tell him how much I love him. And I went, and so I began arguing with God. I know. How many of you have won that argument? You know, God's telling you to do something, but you go, I don't think so. That doesn't make any sense to me. So I go back to this young man. And I say, you know, I just want to tell you something. Maybe you've heard this 1,000 times, but God really loves you, and Jesus Christ really loves you. And immediately, tears just begin welling up in this guy's eye and begin running down his cheeks. So he's standing there putting gas in my car with tears running down his cheeks, you know. And I'm sitting there, and, you know, honestly, God didn't tell me to say a bunch more than that to him. I just told him a couple more things. He put the gas pump back in order. I paid him and gave him a tip, and I drove off. And God said, now you have to be obedient to whatever I tell you to say. It's not a maybe. You got to do it right away, and you got to do exactly what I tell you to do. See, God knew exactly what that young man's heart was about. I didn't. I was too busy doing whatever I was going to do, the important stuff. I had to get to the post office. You know, I have busy, busy, important stuff I have to do today. I have to get these stamps, and I have to get it done right now, you know. But God was about hearts. God was about valuing that young man that day. And sometimes God comes and values people through you, and you don't even know it. So I got a phone call, true experience, got a phone call about a week and a half ago. I served as a chaplain with a ministry called Crisis Response International. And what that Crisis Response International does, whenever there's a hurricane like down they're having right now, they have a team of people that are going to take portable kitchens, and they're going to take a chaplaincy group, and they're going to take counselors, they're going to take workers on down, people, electricians and all kinds of volunteer people are going to go down and do whatever needs to be done to help people out in the crisis, right? So I served as a chaplain when we sent a bunch of people to Haiti because Haiti had a 7.2 earthquake and 400,000 people died in a matter of minutes. And so we had people on the ground 3 days after the earthquake, and my job was to debrief the people that came back, and the people came back traumatized. I mean, even nurses and doctors came back, and it's like they hadn't seen 400,000 dead people in their life. They hadn't experienced that much trauma, and they just had to deal with it. There it was, you know, and starving people and everything that went with it. So I was debriefing this young man that had been on a team that had gone to Haiti. We got together in a coffee shop, and I was taking him through a series of questions that I did with all of them, and I don't know why. I'm just crazy, or I don't know what I am. I don't even remember it. This guy called me. I didn't recognize his name. He told me his name and told me how we had served together. I didn't remember him at all. I still don't remember his face, honestly. But he said, at that day in the coffee shop, you left the agenda of debriefing me, and you went into prophesying to me about my life. And I went, okay, don't remember a thing. And he was on a track at that time in his life where he's pursuing business, pursuing a career in business. He had goals. He had intent. He had plans, and he was headed that way in his education, heading that way in his preparation. And what I prophesied to him that day was that he had a calling on his life to full-time ministry. He had a calling to, as a pastor, and that God was summoning him to go and take care of people. Now, 7 years have gone by, and he calls me a week and a half ago and says, I just want to tell you that what you told me that day has come to pass in my life. I'm a pastor of a church. I'm doing discipleship training, and that's really why I called you. I want you to come on down maybe and help me with discipleship with some people. And you see, I didn't even know what I was doing. See, it's not required that you know what you're doing for what God's going to do. Not required for you to understand in this moment what God is doing for you to get there. See, he's that great shepherd. Does the sheep get a vote in where they're going to? Doesn't seem reasonable that we cross this brook right now. Forget about a shepherd. We're not doing that. You don't get a vote. He's the great shepherd. He knows exactly what he's doing in your life, and he's going to take you there. And so God releasing his value, he wants to empower you, and he already has, because you have the Holy Spirit if you're a believer in Jesus. He's empowered you to go and bring hope to other people. He's empowered you to come and value the people around you. People that are rejected, people that never get valued. So I'm in a Dollar General. And there's a girl in there, and there's like 20 people lined up to buy one candy bar apiece. It's just kind of like, oh, my gosh. You know, so there's a line that's just stretching down the aisles. And this young lady comes out of nowhere, and she's not a manager. She hasn't got a sign manager or anything, just to check her. And she just was brilliant. She said, come on over here. I want the first five people over here. Just boom, 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 took care of them. Give me the next five. And she just had everybody out of there, and the other checkers were just slowly going through things and just didn't have it together. And she just was efficient and got everything done. So I'm starting to leave with my candy bar because I was one of those guilty people. See, I thought I was there for the candy bar, but God thought I was there for hearts. Whoa! So I'm walking out with my candy bar, and God says, go back and tell her that she has a future in management. Go back and tell her not to listen to other people, that she should pursue management because that's what I have for her. Shh. So I went back, and you could just see everything in this girl's whole posture, and her face just light up. Because what is that? It was a message of hope for her. See, God's word always comes with authority. You don't always have to say, thus saith the Lord, or anything. Just come on over and say, you know, there's just something really good about you. That you have an ability. I can see that ability. And if you pursue that, something good's going to happen. And that has this, because it's from God, it has authority to bring change in people's lives. Shh. Hallelujah. Shh. Yeah. So I'm at a inner city church in Pennsylvania, and this young lady comes up like I'm going to do in about 5 minutes here, and I'm praying over people. And she comes walking on up, and when I see her, God says, tell her not to quit. And I said, okay, God. And I went up to her, and I said, the Lord says to you not to quit. And she went, no, what do you mean? I said, the Lord says for you not to quit. Don't back down. Don't turn around. Don't go back the other way. You keep going. So I get an email from a Facebook messenger from this young lady. I don't know her. Her name is Charlene Marcus, and she'd just gotten her master's degree in education. And that night in the church, she was ready to quit. That night in the church, she was just ready to just say, this is too hard. I'm a single mom. I got to take care of my kids. I got to run off and go to the university at night school. I got to keep all this stuff together and work to try and have enough money to cover everything. And she was ready to quit that night, but God saw her heart. It's not about me, folks. It's about God. God cared enough for her in that moment to say, I'm not going to let you quit. I'm going to make somebody tell you not to quit. I'm going to come to you. Even when you aren't expecting anything in the church service, just same old, lame old, lame old, let's get this church service over with. I don't know what she was thinking, but God came to meet her that night because her not quitting was important to his heart. Her going on and having success was important to him, and that's the heart of God. Hallelujah. God wants to enable you to that very same thing. God wants to take you into a place where you're not shut down, you're not preoccupied, where you're aware of the people that are around you, because every one of them has value. God wants to give you a vision and picture of the value of that person you're with. So it's one of my favorites. A friend, an acquaintance of mine, him and another pastor were out for a meeting, and they were having coffee. They're sitting in a coffee shop, and there's no other customers. Nobody. And they have a waitress in there, and she just doesn't do anything for them. I mean, she got their first cup of coffee, and they couldn't find her after that. She was off over in the corner. So finally, again, went on up and got his own pot of coffee and went back and poured it. And when tip time come, God comes to him and says, I want you to give her $10. And he goes, oh, man, there's no way. She isn't worth $10, you know. I'll give her $5, you know. And he goes out to his car after that, going, I was so generous. I was so generous. I gave that girl who didn't do anything for us, I gave her $5. He goes out and sits down in his car, and the spirit of holiness comes into the car. And God says, I don't want you to ever decide what you're going to do with my money again. Oh! And then he said, I want you to go back in there and give that young lady $20. See, disobedience has a price. Did you know that? It's about 100% interest. And then he said to her, he said to him, you don't know what I'm doing in her life. You don't know what her struggles are. You don't know what I'm up to in her life. You know what this is all about. You don't know what the reason for the $20 is, but go in there and do that. You see, it's not about what we think. It's about what God's doing. You're a sheep. You hear his voice. You can follow the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow we're going to be talking a lot about that. The leading of the Holy Spirit is going to be good. Let's just take a minute here. Let's ask God to just move in this room and move in our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you right now. We thank you for the spirit of prophecy. Do you realize the scripture says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus? You see, if true prophecy testifies of Jesus Christ, glorifies him, it's not about the messenger who's delivering it. It's all about the God who sent it. We thank you for that right now, Father. We thank you. I'm going to take the people in this section right here. Why don't you just come on up, line up here in the front.